Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Thank you, Jesus, so much for everything that you have done. I pray that our eyes are open to see what you have for each and every one of us. I pray that our ears are inclined or tuned in to the supernatural spiritual realm more than they are into the earthly fleshly realm. I'm praying for transformation and to be transformed from our old dead man into everything that Jesus released when he came out of the grave. Resurrection power dwells within every one of us. And now tonight we're going to do things a little different. You know, there's a lot going on in this room. There's a lot going on in people's hearts. And, you know, some people celebrate Christmas. Some people don't. Some people get offended with Christmas music. Some people don't. I'm here just to bring the good news. And I know whenever it's a holiday, it could be Christmas, it could be Easter, it could be Thanksgiving, it could be Flag Day, you know, whatever. There's always the opportunity or the temptation to get caught up in drama. And I feel like I'm supposed to release some people from the schemes of the enemy that have plagued them for years. And what I mean by that is those that keep their eyes steadfast on the Lord will walk in peace. That's a scripture. And the next part of that scripture is they trust in the Lord. And as I've been meditating on that word, I started thinking about situations and how easily we can react, including myself, and how we need to practice. First of all, we need to eat the seed of the word, that scripture. We need to eat that, because you can't practice it if you don't have it in you. It needs to grow. It needs to germinate. And so if you've never eaten that seed, that scripture, I invite you to eat it right now. Do you want me to read it to you? Scratch pad, half hour in between appointments, download. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord, because he trusts thee. King James, because he trusts thee. We're given opportunity throughout our journey to trust in the Lord. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. I think one of the biggest obstacles in the body of Christ is learning to trust an unseen God. I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. I want to, but I'm afraid. The word of God is the seed. We have to eat the seed in order to grow faith. And I feel like I could go in like this. I'm listening and, okay, which way are we going? He says both. Okay. So here's the thing. We have to eat the seed in order to believe the word. And it's, you eat the seed first and then faith comes. And oftentimes people want to have, they want to see the results before they believe. And that's because that's the earth way. That's the natural realm. God's ways are higher. We live and abide in the word of God. It is the measuring stick. It's the plumb line. And we're all challenged every day with opportunities to believe or not believe God's word. And we will react according to what we believe. Now, you might want me to say we will react to whatever emotions we feel, but that's not true, because our emotions are subject to our faith, our level of faith over a promise in God's word. But most people are undisciplined in their emotions, and so they respond out of their emotions instead of standing on the Word of God. You know, that scripture that says, steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. Steadfast, that means hold still, no matter what. No matter if a bomb is going off to the left or, you know, a kid is screaming to the right. We have to train our flesh to practice His presence, to practice honoring Him, communing with Him, regardless of what's going on around us. And it seems like it may be hard, but it's really not. It's a matter of discipline, and the Word is full of ideas and solutions to help us discipline our flesh. And many of you know, I struggled for years with trusting the Lord, and I don't struggle anymore because I finally believed. It was that simple. You know, I no longer have to stress over, is He good enough to pay a bill? First of all, it's all His. All of it. I just steward. So that pressure's off me. And, do I need to make a decision? I always go the way of peace. If I have a pressure, I won't make the decision. I'll give you a weird example. We're working on the prayer room, and I think we should have a water cooler for the prayer room. And there was a Black Friday deal, and I'm like, I should get it. And I checked in, Lord, should I get it? He didn't say anything, but I had no peace because I was in the, I should get it, it's a deal. And so I did nothing, and I said, I'll wait a day. And the next day, I didn't even care about the water cooler. I'm being honest. And I know God has a plan, and I don't have to push His plan to get something done. His ways are higher, and His blessings are greater. And we often do things in the flesh because it seems like that's the way it should go. But what happens is we then place a cap of limitations over us because God will not override our will or our ideas or our emotions. And so some of us are struggling with turmoil in here, and I have a really good solution. I'm challenging you to meditate and eat that scripture in Isaiah that I just told you about. And I myself am... You know, I ate it today, and I'm like, you know, I'm loving that scripture because it's bubbling. See, when you eat a seed, it doesn't die; it grows. And so, what's happening is, it's the soil is right and fertile, and so it's starting to take root. And He's starting to show me things, and then I'm more attentive to the little subtle things regarding keeping my eyes on Him and learning to trust Him and walk in peace. Does that make sense so far? So, you know, in the natural realm, Christmas is, for a lot of people, chaos and stress, and I remember those days. And I remember the day I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. Everything bad always happens at this time of the year. I'm overworked. It's not worth it. I quit. And so I quit Christmas. And... You know, I had a family, and we had been traditionally celebrating Christmas, so first of all, I wondered if they'd notice, and the second thing was one of my friends says, you got to have a tree. You got kids. I'm going to put your tree up for you, and so she did, because I quit, and what happened was I was so emotionally broken and stressed and wore out from the mental torment for many, many years. It had built to a tipping point. And so I just called it Christmas as the tipping point. I don't want to do one more thing. And so I didn't for many years. And I'll be honest with you, that was the year that everything imploded. And it didn't have to do with the tree, let me just tell you. But I tied it to that emotion or that memory. And so for years, I would not celebrate Christmas. I wouldn't even call it Christmas. And I had an attitude, and I was getting... The root of bitterness or the root of anguish was growing deeper in my soul because I was feeding that. And I didn't, after a while, you disassociate with that. And this may sound stupid to some of you, but God's talking to a few of us. And so for years, I was just like, whatever, do what you're doing. I mean, I didn't go to family functions. I just quit, you know, and I just tapped out. It was enough. And it was like an emotional breakdown for me in a way. But I had to hold it together because I had a family. And so then it became a temper tantrum. You know, I was a pouty little baby about it. And then I became bitter and angry. And so fast forward, I start going through inner healing and find out how great Jesus is and really what Christ is all about. And, you know, I could have gone on the other end of maybe being a religious person and you know, saying, well, it didn't happen on this way or this way. I didn't get into that path, and I don't really care about that. But what I'm saying is the day came when God knocked on my door and said, are you ready to deal with this? And I said, no, I'm not, because I was mad, because all the bad stuff happened, and I called it the Christmas. You know, it happened at that season. And out of the heart, the issues flow. And out of my heart, I said no, because I was hurt, broken, sad, mad, broken, and didn't want to deal with it because I had patched up that building so that it was just a little shack that I didn't want to go visit anymore. But God's so sweet because he wants to bring healing to every area in our heart, every emotion he wants to heal. And I'll never forget the day it happened. And I was actually afraid to deal with this because there was so much crying, sorrow, broken dreams, the whole nine yards. And my life was pretty good at that point, even though I had that, I'll call it a room in my house that was all boarded up, and I was never going to visit that again. And I was fine leaving it the way it was. You know, don't touch it. Don't bring it up. Don't mention it. We're moving on, okay? We're moving through this. And we did. But the day came when God just knocked on my door and said, I want, and somebody said, because I said something about, I said, I don't celebrate, you know, and they're like, really? I said, yeah, I don't. I'm done with that. You know, and I could give a religious reason, but I didn't. I just said, I'm not doing it. And we started to go through what really happened. And what I mean by that is Jesus took me back. Now, you might think, oh, this is like sozo or whatever. It wasn't a formula. And he was really there with me. And I'm not saying Zozo or whatever it's called doesn't work. I'm just saying I didn't even know what that was, okay? So, but I started to let him into that area in my life that was so broken and shattered. And what happened was a couple things. The memories or the fragmentation of the memories, it really wasn't as bad as I had made it out to be. You know, I had clumped it all into a pile, swept it all into a corner. But when I went back, and I actually went back to some of the hurtful events in my life, Jesus was with me through every one of them. And I would, you know, I would see him off to the corner. And this may sound strange to some of you, but I would see him off to the corner, and I would see the memory of the brokenness, and I would see him with open arms wanting to comfort me at that time and wanting to bring closure and healing to me at the time I was getting healed of it. And I chose to take the healing path. And I had to renounce, I had to repent, and I had to let go of all the garbage. Some of the stuff was bad that happened, but you know what? Life is life. I can choose to pretend it didn't happen, or I could choose to deal with the broken pieces, sweep them up with Jesus, hand them to him, and let him heal me however he chooses. And then you have to go through a trusting process while he chooses how he's going to do it. And I'm going to fast forward it. It probably took 3 hours, and I was left alone for a while to cry it all out, you know, get it all taken care of. And when I was done crying, I didn't even know this song existed, but I heard the angels singing on a mountain. I went into a vision, and I heard them singing, go tell it on the mountain, Jesus. And I was like, what am I seeing? But it like revived my soul. It cleansed and healed. And so to me, the healing process is worth it. We can't force it. We can't hide it. We can't do it ourselves. We need help. And because if we could have fixed it, we would have. If I could have fixed the issues in my life, that just that one section, I would have. I tried the stuff. I read the books. I did everything they said, and none of it worked. So I just was like, okay, we're done. And I want to tell you, that healing opened up the doors for other healings in my life that were related to holidays or celebrations, because I just quit it all. And so, like, birthdays and stuff like that. And so what ended up happening is I got free from the bondage and the brokenness. I don't carry any of that anymore. In fact, it's such a distant memory. The only time I remember it is when I hear that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And it's not like, oh my gosh, it's like, yeah, that's the day I got free, hallelujah. And so that's when you know you're delivered in an area. If you still are struggling, and if somebody says something like, hey Joe, nice shirt, and you're like, what do you mean nice shirt? You know, the way you react are indicators that there's issues in your soul that need healing. Now, who doesn't need healing in this place? Let's raise your hand if you need healing. Okay. So you're not alone and you're not isolated. I want to tell you that because the enemy likes to think, well, you should have it by now. You've been blah, blah this long. Why, you know, oh, if you're not going to have it, well, then you can't because it's too bad. Lies from the pit of hell. God is an encourager. He sent us the Holy Spirit to deliver us from the bondage of hell, meaning emotional traumas, all that stuff is hell on earth. And so the encourager, the equipper, is our friend, Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us in all truth if we will receive him. And so fast forward, we had, who was at the meeting last Saturday? Yeah, a lot of you. Whoa, hey? You know, I'm just going to say a couple things. One, I'm kind of sick of, now I'm just going to give you some heads up about prophecy for 2025, okay? 2025, revive. 2025, alive. 2025, beehive. You see a pattern there? It's a work of the flesh. Now, God will release prophetic words. They usually don't rhyme with the year in our calendar, okay? I'm just being honest. What's happening right now is he's aligning our hearts from the broken, the shattered. He's rebuilding the ancient runes. He wants to dig the deep wells and bring forth revival in you and then everywhere. So who's getting worked on? Right, right. Who's getting correction? Right. Who's getting direction? Right. Who's getting revelation? Right. Right. Isn't it awesome? He's doing something to his bride, the ones that are attuned. Now, who's in a trial? Okay. The trials are designed to work out the issues in our heart and in our soul. You'll stay in that trial until you go through the healing process. It could be a day, a week, a year, 10 years, 30 years, 50 years. It depends on how much you surrender your will, your ways, your ideas to the higher way, the King of Kings. There's this going on, pride. I've done it this way all my life. There's, I'll never get it. There's all kinds of friction. Friction's designed to bring us closer to the Lord. Friction is good. Don't run from friction. And so Saturday when we were at that meeting, now I've sat in probably every Holly Bailey meeting since, I don't know, long, long time. I never get tired of hearing what the Lord is saying. I'm not going to grow weary in doing good. I'm not going to let this be, oh, it's Wednesday night. Lord, what are you doing tonight? Lord, what are you doing today? And so that Saturday when we were in that meeting, and I've been through tons of free indeeds, tons of them. And every time I get a little freer, a little freer, a little freer indeeder. And that's the process. Until you see Jesus Christ when you look in the mirror, you need deliverance. Deliverance is not a dirty word. It's a good cleansing word. And it doesn't have to be throwing up in a bag. It's just repenting, renouncing, coming out of agreement, and proclaiming the truth, and then believing the truth of God's word. Saturday, we're in the service, and she's, you know, God gave it to her ahead of time, and so she's kind of going off her notes, but she's still in the flow of the Holy Spirit. And I said this prayer. I said, Lord, what issue are you trying to show me that I haven't even asked about yet? And I thought, when I said that, I thought, that wasn't me. I'm not smart enough. I knew it was the Holy Ghost inside me bringing forth that thought. And I came in agreement with that thought. And instantly, because it was really about, you know, getting delivered and walking in freedom and replacing and exchanging. And instantly, he gave me a sentence. And I'm like, ooh, I wrote it down. And then another sentence. And then another, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know this was an issue. I didn't say, not me. I've done that before, and I've learned he's always right. If I'm not sure, I'll say, could you show me more? And he'll flash me images of my old behavior, something I believe, or some way I acted. So he'll always bring more truth if we ask him for truth. You won't get tricked if it's really the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes people think the Holy Spirit is talking to them, but really it's their emotions comforting and soothing because they don't want to have guilt, shame, condemnation, sadness, loneliness. And so it's important not to confuse Holy Spirit with your emotional need to stay in your fake peace. Yeah, I'm just being real. And so when he said that to me on Saturday, I was like, oh my gosh, you are so right. And instantly, he showed me like five dreams that he's given me through my lifetime relating to this one area, and I never did anything about it because I couldn't, because I had false beliefs. I had some brokenness and hurt that I didn't even know was there. And so when he showed me that, I instantly repented. And I replaced it with his word. And I was so excited when I left there. I thought, I can't wait. And then I got home, and it was flat like a deadline. And I'm like, I thought I got healed of that. And so I press in a little more, and I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. Nope, nope, nope. Now, instead of saying, I got it all together, I don't. There was still a missing piece, and that's what I'm talking about with healing. Sometimes we get part, we hear in part, see in part, know in part, but we need another part to bring forth more healing. And it's true in every way we get healing. You know, if you were abused as a kid, you're going to go through some emotional healing, but there's going to be another layer later on that the Holy Spirit will open because you're ready now. Some people can't get completely whole in an area because it just was too painful. And the memories would traumatize them even more. So he gently brings out the dross. He gently takes care of the little slivers in our hearts. He does it at the speed he knows we're able to do. Now, I'm one of those all or nothing. Do it now, Lord, do it all. And he doesn't do it that way because he knows that that's not the best. You know what I mean? I'm like, black and white, just let's just do it. And he's like, no, there's a process. Let's walk out the process so you remember the wholeness and not the bad stuff. And so, you know, in the past, sometimes when I'd get like revelation and then not follow through on it or a breakthrough, I would be like, you know, what gives, Lord? What is my problem? Why am I not seeing this? But what I did instead this time, I told on myself. I said, you know, I had such breakthrough, but I'm not seeing it manifest. There's another area that needs to be opened. And so I shared it today with Holly, and I said, you remember me telling you about that breakthrough? And she goes, yeah. I go, you want to know what it was? And she didn't say nothing. And I said, oh, you don't care or something like that? And she goes, no, I do, but I didn't think you wanted to share it. I said, I don't, but I'm gonna. And so I shared it. And see, when you don't want to share something, that's a sign you need to share something. Because then the wall of protection is down and the enemy can't say, well, right. Well. And so I said, this is what happened in the meeting. This is what God showed me. And then she goes, oh, let's pray into it. We prayed into it and she gave another proclamation and there was still no breakthrough. Well, there should be. And she's like, do you have break? I go, no, I don't. And she goes, what's the memory you have right now? And I told her what it was, which opened up the original hit from the enemy back in 1972. Okay, what year are we in now? Yeah. So we went back there, and I actually, when I said the next proclamation of all the rest, it had to do with some shame and stuff and a learning issue. When I said the proclamation, I actually felt a gag, like a cloth come out of my mouth, like a release of, you know, I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I know it's gone. And so I was all excited again. I thought, okay, this is it. Well, I had to leave. I had appointments today and I had a lot of work to do. But when I was in the car, I could feel the difference. I'm like, this is it. There's been breakthrough here in an area that should have happened in 1972. And so I'm as giddy as a kid in the kingdom right now. And so I'm telling you that because a couple things I'm leading up to. Never stop going after everything in your heart. The reason why we act the way we do. And don't try to protect it or dress it up and act like we don't act weird when we're weird at home or, you know, wherever. Here, no, I'm kidding. So I'm saying that because this next year is going to be very similar to what's happening right now. We're all on a journey. Remember me telling you a few weeks ago I saw an explosion in the spirit? I saw it again tonight. And it's not a bad explosion. It's a good explosion. There's going to be an explosion, a glory explosion of holiness. It's coming. And it's here, but it's up to us. God won't release his precious oils, his precious glory to people who won't steward, who won't deal with the issues of their heart. He won't share his glory with vessels that have not gone through the process of purification. And he doesn't call everybody to go through the process of purification. But if you said these words, Lord, use me any way you want. I'll die on any hill. Yeah. There's going to be some pain involved in your emotional realm, in your dream realm. Maybe you have a goal of being blah, blah, president of the blah, blah. But then you said that prayer. Is that what God wants for you? Or does he want to send you to the missions field? Or does he want to send you into the homeless shelters? Or does he want to send you into to seminary school? You know, we don't know. We don't know his plan for us until we abide in his presence. And the problem is there's two wills. There's the will of man. We're taught certain things all our life. Do this, achieve that, be that way. And then we meet Jesus, and it's completely the opposite. Die to this. Give your last whatever to somebody. Turn your cheek. Don't strike back. I mean, it's contradictive of what we're taught in America. And so there's a wrestling that takes place, and it should take place every day until there is the breakthrough of, it's no longer I, but Christ who lives through me, his hope and glory. And so, and those are landmark times in the Spirit. Those are marks in the Spirit. Those are timelines that are celebrated by the angels. And so, where we're at right now is a wonderful place to be. Embrace deliverance. Embrace confrontation. Now, I'll just tell you, some people the enemy will use to confront you, and it's not the Holy Ghost. I had a lady come up to me at the altar, could have been Saturday, I think it was Saturday, and she said, my friend said I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I looked at her, and I said, yes, you are. And I said, that's not your friend, that's the enemy speaking. You know, the enemy's going to come and try to say, no, it's not true. No, you're never going to get your breakthrough. No, you should be blah, blah. That's the enemy. God has freely given every good. God has freely given every good thing to all His children without discrimination, without, you know, limitation. This is going to be a season. I'm not calling it the year. I'm calling it the season of breaking out of our old dead men and coming alive in Christ through resurrection power that Jesus provided. And we are going to connect in a way where we are going to walk in holiness without competing with each other and showing off. That's all getting burned away. It's necessary to get burned away. The flesh thinketh. We don't like the flesh. You know, we have to house it. But why not let the spirit man inside us overrule our flesh and rise up above and walk in the resurrection power and blessings of God? Now, you can walk in the blessings of God and still be a fleshly person because there's systems He's laid out. But I want Him to have His way through me. I said that prayer over. I can't tell you how many times, because there's different levels of dying to your dreams and what you think. There was things I thought were that He said. I'm not so sure. I think my emotion might have pushed it through a little bit. And because I wanted to feel good while I was going through the death process. Let me tell you, you're not going to feel good when you go through the death process. It's designed to separate the flesh from spirit. It's designed to have a transaction where it's your spirit man who's strong and abiding, and your little fleshly man is hanging out in the back, you know, doing whatever. Does that make sense so far? So, how do you subdue your flesh? Some people have never exercised the discipline of subduing your flesh. And when I was learning this practice, it didn't come easy. It's easy now because I do it, but it took a long time. And some of the things that have helped me overcome the obstacles of my flesh, the obstacles of my emotions, the obstacles of the thinking processes that I was raised into, I had to starve my flesh. And one of the ways I did that was I fasted. I'm a faster. I love fasting. Some people are like, it's not biblical. Well, tell that to somebody else, because I've seen the results of fasting. I've seen the results of struggling to fast. I've been through every phase that you can imagine with fasting. I've been successful, and I've been a failure. My failures come when I think God calls me to fast, but it's just me trying to manipulate and get a blessing or a promotion in God. I'm being real. But in the early days, you know, I was in a church, a community church, and on a prayer team, and we were asked to fast. I can't remember if it was once a week or once a month or whatever, but it was on a certain day, and I could go till noon. I'd get a migraine. I laugh at that now, but that was how it was. I was very weak spiritually, and will be weak spiritually until we break through to the greater levels in God. And so I would, you know, try to fast, I'd get a migraine, and then I'd have to eat. You know, I just had to, because I didn't want to have a migraine. And so I would fail miserably. The enemy would say, you call yourself a Christian, you can't even fast like they church, you're not saved, you know, all this crazy stuff. And in the early days, I would engage and go, really? And now I'm like, get out of here, you lying devil. See, we have to know who we are in Christ. Not who I tell you you are, but you have to know who you are in Christ. And that comes through a few ways. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Then you speak what's inside of you. You can watch a YouTube, it's not the same. You can watch a teaching, it's not the same. It has to become personal. Those seeds have to go in, they have to germinate, and they will come out in due season. And you'll be shocked, and so will the devil. So, fasting. Some people think, well, I'll fast from social media. Go ahead, if that's what you want. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. Some people fast from smoking cigarettes for a day or whatever. I don't care what your fast is. The purpose is to recognize when your flesh is rising up and saying, feed me. I'm hungry. Then you have to discipline your flesh like you discipline a child or a dog. You say, no, flesh, we're not eating. We're fasting. And then your flesh will say, please, I'm starving. It'll start to argue back and forth with you. No, I'm dedicated to the Lord and I am not eating. Shut up. I'm going to call DCF on you. It's unreasonable what happens with your emotions when you try to discipline your flesh. So, miserable failure at fasting. Tried everything, can't do it. But my heart was right. My flesh was weak. And what happened to me was, you know, I was desperate for change. I was a wreck. You know, I was a mess. When I met Jesus, he rocked me. What happened was he opened up his realm of love, and I was just captivated by him. I saw him. I met him. I didn't know he was real this side of heaven. And I was so hungry for more of his presence, but yet I knew I was steeped in sin, steeped in deception, a total mess. And slowly he started working with me because I'd say, help me. You know, I don't even know how to change. Would you help me? I came as a kid into my father's lap. And because of that, he would give me things to do. I knew back in those days, Edgar and Holly Bailey, you know, it was called Edgar Bailey Ministries, wherever they had a meeting, I would go to if I could. And I set my face, because I knew there was life in those meetings. I knew. I met Jesus in that meeting. And I was like, I knew it was like a substance of heaven released into the meeting, and I didn't know how it worked, but I knew it was good. And I knew I felt better, or I got answers to life questions when I would go to these meetings. And so they would do these altars at the end, and Edgar would pray for people, and he would bam, 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 people get healed, and they'd be slain in the spirit, and Holly would do an emotional prayer line type thing instead of creative miracles, although she had them in those meetings. And so you kind of picked where you what line you wanted to go to, and Holly's line was always long. Edgar's was fast, you know. And so if you wanted to get out and go to the restaurant afterwards, you'd go to Edgar's line. But if you were desperate for change, you'd wait, and you'd wait, and you'd wait. And the line was a little slow, and they used to go down the center aisle, and I would be like, oh, Lord, you got to change me. Lord, I don't even know what I need, but I'm coming up for prayer because I really just need help. And my heart was attuned to his. It wasn't, what are they talking about? Oh, everyone's getting together. You know, because sometimes people yak in the lines and they get fleshy. And I was like, no, I'm desperate. I am a wreck. And this one night I was desperate and I was a wreck. And I went up to the line and I don't even know what happened except for I saw a bolt of lightning hit me in my midsection, and I went flying past Holly up onto this altar. I had a rug burn on my arm from it, and I spent 45 minutes in heaven. And I didn't even know that was possible. And what happened was I traveled faster than the speed of the light, and my hair, I used to have long hair, it was like, and my face was like back, like you see in the cartoons, you know, like, and I'm up in heaven, and I'm being ministered to by some angels. And they took a coal and they touched my lips, and I was on fire. They were purifying some junk out of me. And then Jesus talked to me for a little bit. And then he said, I had to go back. And I'm like, I don't want to go back. Please don't make me go back. I don't want to go back. And he said, you have to go back. And so I went back. And when I came to, I thought it was 5 minutes. I didn't know it was 45 minutes. And I was so undone, I could barely get up. And we went out everybody always used to go out after those nights, and I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink, I was just like vibrating on the inside. And I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror because my face still felt like it was pushed back from the force of whatever. And what ended up happening was Jesus touched me that night, and I couldn't eat the next day. And I couldn't eat the next day, and I couldn't eat the next day, and I couldn't eat the next day. And I ended up on a 40-day fast, and towards the end of the fast, the enemy would come to me and say, you better eat, you're going to be anorexic. I'm thinking, yeah, right. But what happened was, during that 40 days, I was set apart. My family thought I was sick, like I had the flu, and I just let them think that. Otherwise, I would have had to cook dinner, and I just couldn't get out of bed. The presence was on me, and it just was, that's how it was. And then eventually, I had to start work, you know, participating in life with the kids. And I was, the grace of God was on me where I was able to do that. Now, what I'm trying to say is, I learned a lot during that fast, and it wasn't about abstaining from food. It was about dealing with the emotional issues in my heart. Jesus sat with me on a bench, and he said, "When's the last time you cried?" And I thought, that's an odd question. I thought, I cried when I got married, and I cried when my son got in trouble. And those were like years ago. He was trying to gently get me to open my emotions up. And so, because everything was stuffed and locked because I was tired of getting hurt, and I got tough and callous. And so slowly, he started dealing with my emotions, and slowly, slower than I wanted it fast. And so then I got mad because you opened it up. Let's deal with it. Let's just get it over with. And he didn't do it that way. And so what I'm saying is, I was a terrible faster. I did a 40-day, and then I've done some others, and I always like liquid fasts. I've done water fasts, and I'm not bragging or putting my mark in a belt or anything like that, but I'm saying whenever you deny yourself the pleasure of food, you have more time on your hands, and your spirit man opens up, because it's not clogged with food and chemicals. So what happens is it opens up, and you're able to hear better what the Holy Spirit's trying to get you to see. And then you deal with these issues because you're not eating, and you have to reserve the energies. If you go on long-term fast, you have to, you know, you have to watch your storehouse. And so you're not out mowing the, well, I do, but you're not out cutting trees. Oh, wait, I do. No, I'm kidding. You just have to be in tune with him and stay in a rested place with him. And he designs that. So fasting is good. Start off slow. Don't do a 40. Start off with a 1 day, 6 hours. I'm just going to drink water for 6 hours. Start off another day, 8 hours. You know, work it slow, but pay attention to what's the process of emotions. It's not to, aha, I did it. I climbed the mountain. I've got the pole. It's, okay, this is starting to bubble up. Let's deal with it. And then you deal with it. And you ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And if you get stuck, reach out. Dial a friend. But dial a Holy Ghost friend. Don't dial somebody who doesn't know the process of deliverance and wholeness. And so, and I got it today. I dialed out a friend today. It's important. We have to get healed and whole for what he's doing in the earth coming soon to a theater near you. He's coming. There's stuff he wants to release, and I don't want him to skip over my house, me. So discipline the flesh. Practice disciplining the flesh. It's important. Does that make sense? Yeah. Open sin. We need to deal with the open sin in our life. It's not talked about enough. There are things that people do that are so destructive, but what happens is it opens a door to the enemy where he has legal access to clobber you. Now, close those doors. Holy Spirit has wooed and said and suggested. Some of you have, well, it doesn't say it in the scripture, so I guess it's okay. Listen, if you feel conviction, that's a good thing. If you don't feel conviction, that's not such a good thing. Because what happens is you get calloused and then, okay, well, now you can't hear at all in that area. And that's what happened to me. And I got free on Saturday through today. And it wasn't even a sin. It was a lifestyle. It had to do with study, believe it or not, and, you know, minds. So I'm just telling you, God's purifying us. And so be receptive to the purification. Does that make sense so far? So I want to do something tonight that to build faith in the room. And because this message isn't about condemnation. Does anybody, well, you probably won't admit it. If you're feeling condemned about this message, I want to just encourage you. God is all love. And if you can't feel the presence of love, there's an area in your heart that God wants to open and heal. He doesn't want to punish you. He wants to free you. And so this message isn't about condemnation. It's not about legalism. It's about walking freedom in Jesus Christ, walking free in Jesus Christ. Amen? So tonight, this is our last night before the new year. And we're family. Whether you come once, 100 times, we're family. And so, and I know a lot of people aren't here that normally come here, but it's okay. They'll hear it on the recording and join in. But what I want to do tonight is a couple things. Some of you are going to go into family situations that you wish you didn't have to go into. I'm going to encourage you, this may sound strange, but I'm going to encourage you to pray ahead and ask the Holy Spirit for you to be a blessing where you go. And then remember, they spit on him, they tore his beard out. You're just going for dinner. Okay? You do not have to engage with the enemy. You also don't have to dine with the enemy. You can choose, by the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, what to say yes to and what to say no to without guilt or manipulation. So, I'm praying for everyone to be a blessing. Some people will deal with negative people. Don't engage. Practice not engaging. Just be kind. Think what their life must be like if that's how they act and live. Don't think, why are they doing it to me? Think, boy, they've had a really tough life. Lord, help them. What can I say to help them? And it may be nothing, because you might spark an argument, but it might be, bring them a cup of cold water. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, so from there we're going to bounce into, we're closing out the year, and I want us to be ready. I want us to start looking at what we're looking at. So does anybody have like a challenge from the Holy Spirit of something that you are going to go after with him? You don't have to tell me what it is, but does anybody have that going on right now? Yeah, raise your hand if it's you. Okay, so have you come together with, like, for a business meeting, so to speak, or a plan with the coach and asked him what is the blueprint? What is the plan? How are we going to get our breakthrough? Or what, you know, do I have, the, you know, people lack, you know, without a vision, people perish. And then if you don't have vision, you get swayed to whatever the current thing is, the current need, and then you never make the destination. And so for me, there needs to be, you know, Andrew Womack teaches on this. He's got a great book called Don't Limit God, I think it is. And you know, we have to use our imagination to visualize what it is we're believing for. Now, this year, starting today, I'm believing big for promises that God has spoke over my life throughout my life. And because I just got unlocked in an area, I'm like expecting like super abundantly big, okay? But I can't just expect it and not tend to the garden, not tend to the seeds. And so for me, I've made some, this. First of all, my flesh said, you're fasting for 21 days for your breakthrough. But I knew it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And I said, I'm not cranking this. We're doing this together or we're not doing it. And so I said, what are you saying here? And he's giving me, he didn't give it all to me yet, but he's given me specific things he wants me to do each day to grow that seed of faith. And I have to tend to, I didn't promise him I'd do it. I have to tend to the responsibility of stewardship. And when I attend to that responsibility, he's obligated to release the breakthrough. And so I have like set my course on, like I've done a complete shift in my thinking, because I had like a shade get removed, you know, like there was darkness or dullness there, and now I see, oh, okay. And so now I see, well, what does that mean? Teach me what to do. Teach me how to do this. And so I'm saying that because there's an area in your life that God has promised or you're believing for, whether it's increase in finances or increase in gifting or resurrection power to raise the dead, or just to love Jesus more or whatever. there's a plan. It has to. You have to have the seed. You have to have the plan to put. First, you have to have the plan. The seed goes in, and then you tend to the seed, whether it's, you know, meditating on that seed or locking away with God. There has to be more of Him and less of the pleasure of life or the cares or the distractions that keep us from going after, going into the secret place to contend for our breakthrough. And when I say contend, I don't mean fight with God. I mean surrender to God. And so, one more thing. Bring it back, Holy Spirit. Okay. One more thing I want to say is, it's not a contest. It's personal. It's relational. And it's not hard if it's in Him. It gets hard when we work it out in ourselves. And that's how you know when you're struggling, you're not in Him. You know, we have to keep our eyes on Him and keep the plan that He has for our lives in front of us. Otherwise, the phone call could be the bomb that goes off that causes us to have an emotional response. And then we got to deal with the repenting, closing the door to anger or rage or whatever. It's just much easier to practice the discipline of meditating on His goodness through relationship, growing closer in a silent way. You know, it's an inward walk and journey. And then from the inwardness, He manifests outward. And you're just like, wow, that was God. You know, I didn't even know that was in me because it's Him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Any questions so far? Any comments on it? Is this helpful tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just check my notes and see if I got everything. So for some of us, we're going to increase our praying in tongues. You know, maybe we're scattered all the time, and so we're going to spend, you got to get it from the Holy Spirit. You can't just make it an exercise plan because those usually fail unless you're disciplined like some people I know. I want to study your discipline because you have the discipline I like and want, you know. Yeah. It's steadfast. Man, there's some things in you that, you know, I'm just impressed with. So anyway, maybe it's praying in tongues 15 minutes a day undistracted, you know, and then maybe you're doing that for a while. Bump it up to 30 when it gets comfortable and keep increasing praying in the Spirit. We need to grow our spiritual muscles. How do you exercise your discernment? Through use. How do you get use? Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Okay, maybe for some of us, we're going to work up on our study plan. Maybe we're haphazard and we just open the Bible and that's what God's speaking to us today. But maybe there's a subject He's been wanting us to learn, but we've been too busy, distracted, in my case, broken and needed healing. And you know, He's given me some study plans. And I mean, I have the outlines. I just couldn't follow through with them. And so I'm excited about what's coming up for me starting today, because I don't care about tomorrow. I care about today. And then, you know, maybe some of you are journalers. Maybe God's called you to write and you're going to spend more time. Maybe you're an artist and you're supposed to paint more prophetically to release His glory into the atmosphere. Maybe you have business ideas that He's given you, but they've been flat. Spend time. And if you're distracted or you're uncomfortable, there's a deliverance issue. There's an emotional component that's blocking your blessing, and we have to work that out through many different ways. Pray, ask the Holy Spirit what to do, and then maybe seek some deliverance counseling, you know, come to a conference, get free, whatever it takes. And remember, it's not a resolution. It's just goals to work towards growing in God. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, people will perish. And they'll end on the wrong path, and they will never finish their course. And I pray right now that every person in here finishes the course that's set before you. Lord, we receive Your word tonight. We thank You for it. We're blessed by it. And Lord, we love You so much. We want to increase sensitivity to Your Spirit, to who You are. We want to learn how to commune. Holy Spirit, teach us how to hear You. Teach us how to recognize You. Teach us how to just, when You lean, that we feel that You're leaning. Let us grow strong in You. Let us grow our trust in You so that You can lead us and guide us in the right path. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from Spirit of God Worldwide.com.